Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Yep, feel free to join us. Okay, all right. I just wanted to take a second and check in. How are we doing? It has been another heavy week, and I think that's particularly why we took extra time in worship and prayer this morning, and just response to what is happening around us in our nation, because here we are again just shaking our heads, bewildered at another tragic event, loss of life, and asking, where are we headed? Right? And as we're shaking our heads and wondering where we're headed, I think we're also asking, and what can be done? What can we do? What can be done in this age we live in where evil is just becoming so frequent and so common? And I believe as the world is asking, what can be done? I believe that God is asking the church, will you take your place in prayer? Will you take your place in prayer? And maybe you hear that and you think that sounds like kind of a weak solution, like showing up to a wildfire with a squirt gun in hand, with all the violence and the division and the hatred that we're facing. Maybe you wonder, like, is like prayer really enough? Like, prayer? Can my whispered words make a difference out there, like really shift things and make impact out in the craziness of this world? And maybe you think, as you think about prayer as an answer, you think, well, that's going to be already covered, right? There's lots of more qualified people already praying, or people more spiritual than me out there already praying. And what I want to do today, if you're asking those questions, what can my prayer do? What can my prayer, what impact can it really have? I want to start with a story. This is a true story of what intercession and how intercession can do, how it can actually shift history. And this is a story from World War II. During World War II, when bombs were falling all across Europe and nations were gripped with fear, there was a small Bible college in Wales that was doing something radical in response. It might seem radical. They were praying. They were praying, led by an intercessor. His name is Rhys Howells. Rhys Howells, he was a Welsh coal miner who turned a prayer warrior, and he started this little Bible college in Wales, and he gathered together the staff and the students, and they committed themselves to hours and days of around-the-clock prayer. And one of the most powerful moments came in May of 1940 during the crisis of Dunkirk, when there were over 300,000 Allied soldiers who were trapped on the beaches of France. Have we seen, has anybody seen the movie? They were trapped on the beaches of France, and the situation looked absolutely hopeless. And all of the world and the military leaders were just preparing themselves for what would be just an absolute devastation, massive loss of life. But in this chapel back in Wales, Rhys and his community, they picked up their post in prayer, and they fasted, and they prayed, and they saw what was happening in the natural. They knew the circumstance that they were facing, but yet they turned to the Lord, and they cried out to God. They refused to accept defeat. They refused to let that be the answer. And so they did pray, and they prayed, and then we see what history now calls a miracle. What happened was this fog came in, a sudden fog came in, and it blanketed the English Channel. And as it did, the German military aircraft, they were grounded. And that allowed this window of opportunity where civilian boats could come in and rescue the soldiers from the beach and bring them safely out. And it was so unexpected that even Churchill called it a miracle of deliverance. A miracle of deliverance. And Rhys and his community, they believed that it was their persistent prayer that shifted the tide, shifted the weather. We've seen it before in the Bible. God can do it again. And this is what Rhys said. He said, we were not just praying for victory. We were in the fight with God, standing in the gap for the nations. And maybe you think that's a great story, but that is a famous Welsh revivalist, and that is not me, right? Of course, like, his prayer is answered. He is an expert prayer in his day, right? And I'm not a famous intercessor. Well, let me answer that argument from a garden tour. Let's go back. I want to go back to the very beginning, what I like to call the original factory settings of our human experience on this earth. So let's go back to Genesis 1. It's a beautiful day in paradise, and that new car smell is still lingering in the air of the earth. Back in Genesis 1, as God is creating mankind. And look at his intentions. This is what he is talking. This is what he's saying, you know, out loud as he is making mankind. He says, let us make mankind in our image so that they may rule over all of the creation that was just formed, that I have just brought forward. He's saying, listen, this is my intentions for mankind. Take my image. Take it and go bear it in the earth that I have given you. This is the position I'm appointing you to. Our humanity was set up this way from the very beginning, that we would rule on earth in reflection. That's what you do with an image, right? You reflect in reflection of God himself. So when God sets up the world, he sets us up as business partners. As business partners, he's like, you are my boots on the ground. Take my image. Take care of creation in my image. Now we know that what just happened is God, he is so powerful. He is all powerful. He just made everything out of nothing, right? He is so powerful. He doesn't need us for anything. He doesn't. He doesn't need us to do anything for him. But for some strange reason, for some crazy reason that maybe one day we will understand, God wants to be in partnership with us. He wants to use us. He wants to work through us in partnership, in love, in friendship, right? He wants to share this responsibility with us on the earth. We see this in the next example of what happened, right? He gave Adam all the animals, and he's like, you name them. I made them, you name them, right? So do you see this like partnership that God set up? And here in the creation story, we get the answer to this age-old question. Why am I here? Why did you make me? What am I made for? What's the point? I see this, the design of our human experience, you guys, is that we would represent God in the earth, on the earth, in the affairs of the created world. This is how he set it up, that we would be co-managers with him of the family business with his authority, with delegated authority. So what I see here very simply in the beginning is that we were put here as a go-between, between heaven and earth. We are a go-between, and the word for that go-between is intercessor. Intercessor. That's what it is. Have you heard this term before? It's kind of a legal term. It's all throughout the Bible, and it is a mediator. It's exactly what it is. It's a go-between. It's an advocate acting on someone else's behalf. And I see this in Genesis 1 there. But I also see God saying, this is what I am looking for. He spoke through a prophet, Ezekiel, and he said this, I sought for someone to stand in the gap. All the way late, years and years later, he's still saying, this is what I am looking for from humanity, from these people that I made. That God is still looking for an intercessor who will take up the business of intercession, be a go-between between heaven and earth. So intercession, at its very basic definition, is just simply praying on behalf of someone else. It's calling on God's power, on his presence, on his nature, his will to be released into the life of another, into the earth. Okay, so does my prayer matter to God? Like, really, does my prayer matter? Like, again, if God is all powerful, does he need me to pray to do something, to make something happen? Does he already know what's going to happen before I pray? And hold on, does this mean if I don't pray that I'm limiting an all-powerful God? I don't know if you sometimes have stumbled over these questions. But here's what we know. Yes, God is all powerful, But again, he designed us to have impact on what happens on the earth. It is mysterious. I don't fully grasp it. What I see it here, we are co-managers, intercessors on his behalf. This is the role, the position that he has given us. So I remember so clearly the night that I brought my oldest son, newborn Aiden, home to the house. And it was a feeling of sheer overwhelm and panic and fear over the position that I was just put in. I felt like I was in no way, shape, or form prepared for this role as a protector of this tiny life. Like, my training was a Cabbage Patch doll when I was in fifth grade. Like, that was it. Like, you know, like changing the chunky shoes, and I could change an outfit, but that is as far as my training went. And I remember that first night putting Aiden in his bassinet, and there was not a wink of sleep. Like, I am just staring over him, like watching, making sure, is his chest going up and down, right? I'm like watching that, listening for every noise, wondering, like, is the belly button literally gonna fall off? Like, that comes off? Like, and is there an infection? And like the smells, questioning every smell, right? Like, and I remember just feeling so overwhelmed that night. And when I left the hospital, the nurse, the sweet nurse, gave me her number, a direct line to the nurse's station. And I remember in the dark of the night, Kevin says when he is fast asleep, and I am like fretting over this little life, I called the nurse line. Like, I didn't have any questions. I just wanted to know, you're really going to answer? And I called that thing just to check, like, are you there for me? Because I don't know what I am doing. This is too much. And I don't want to leave you in that feeling as I'm saying, this is your role on the earth. This is your position as an intercessor. So what I want to do today is I want to give you a little training, a little insight, a little help along the way here. And I want us just to do a little refresher course. And if we are called into this position as an intercessor, a go-between between heaven and earth, how? How do we pray powerful prayers? How do we pray effective prayers, prayers that make a difference in our day? And as I started looking at this sermon, I realized, like, oh man, I have so, so much. And I just was looking at this thing and I asked Kevin, I'm like, I'm only supposed to preach 1 week, but can I take two? Can I take two? And Kevin moonwalked. He's like, sure, here you go. Take it, right? Take it. Yeah. So I'm doing a two-parter here on how do we pray powerful prayers. How do we pray powerful prayers? So here's where we're going to start. As an intercessor, why aren't my prayers powerful? Why aren't they answered? Now, this is a really complex question, and I'm going to tell you this ahead of time. I can't give you an airtight answer, but we are going to attempt to look at Scripture and see what it has to say, and I'm going to do my best, but it's not going to be complete. Please just know I'm just going to start dabbling in some of these things, but we're going to look at what Scripture has to say, and we're going to start with James 4:3, and this is what James writes. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Spend what you get on your pleasures. This is one that I want to take a Sharpie to and just mark out of the Scripture. James, this is so harsh. What are you saying? We shouldn't have things that bring us pleasure? Like, hold up. Like, I thought God was a good father. I thought he was generous. I thought he was a blesser. I thought that we could pray for blessing in our lives. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. How do you know? Well, we get this Lord's Prayer, right? Where the disciples were like, teach us how to pray. And in that prayer, do you remember Jesus taught his disciples, give us today our daily bread. Well, daily bread brings me pleasure, right? Like sourdough, anyone? Yes, yes, yes. It is okay to pray for our own personal needs. It's okay to pray for that. But what I want you to note, first of all, is the order. That right before the give us today our daily bread is this. Pray your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, I believe the order was important. And I believe that we get too caught up in our daily bread prayer. I was so convicted by this when I thought about it. And I thought, wow, I think 90% of my prayers are me-centered prayers. Me-centered prayers. And it is so easy to fall into the me-centered concern because we live in a marketing world, don't we? And marketing is set to feed you images and suggestions and ideas that are all already set according to your preferences, aren't they? I mean, have you ever experienced this? You're in your kitchen and you're talking about your next home project and we're like, ooh, like we need new blinds. Like let's do new blinds in the kitchen and this room. And you're having this conversation with your spouse. And then the next day, all of your ads are what? Blinds, right? Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. Everything that comes across your desk is about you should have these blinds and these blinds. We are targeted. We are targeted customers, guys. And our value in the world is as a consumer. That is really the only value that we are being given from the world. The most important thing about us is what we can buy and what we can have. So we are constantly being fed suggestions on things that we already have an affinity towards. It's so subtle, but it is so powerful. Everywhere we look is something else that would fit a need or desire we have, right? That is what we see all the time. It is the narrative we are fed. Isn't it interesting that it's called a feed? It's the narrative that we are fed. What is important is what you should have, what you need, and what you want. That is what is most important. And so it makes it really hard to think beyond what we could want, what we could have, or what we deserve in this life. And we are swept away into a cultural narrative. And here's the problem, is our life vision becomes reduced down to concerns over the good life, doesn't it? If you ask me, Molly, what do you want out of life? Well, what I want out of life is I just really want to be happy. I want my kids to do well. I don't want my kids to suffer. I want to be liked. I want to have enough money to pay my bills and go on a splashy spring break vacation. I really want to save for retirement. I want a house project every now and then. And honestly, I want a good marriage and maybe just down the line to retire somewhere beautiful, right? That's what I want out of my life. And guys, these are good things, but they are temporary. They won't matter in eternity. And it is okay to want them, and it is okay to pray for them, but not to limit our vision to them. What covers your vision board? What covers your vision board? And here's the question, is it any different than the unbelieving world? Is it? Too many of us in the church, as followers of Jesus, we have stopped short, and I am preaching to myself. Our life vision is consumed with this world, and our deepest desires are no different than those who don't know Jesus, than the world around us. And the narrative we subscribe to, guys, it is the narrative of the world and not the narrative of Jesus, who walked on this earth to make the Father known and to bring glory to the God who made the universe, right? That was why he came. We are not of the world. And so this is why we get this warning from James. This is where it comes from. Your prayers aren't answered because your vision is too small. That's what he's saying. And your vision dictates your prayer. Your vision dictates your prayer. And if all we really want and hope for is the good life, guys, then our prayers are centered around this short-sighted American dream and not the dream in God's heart. And it is okay to pray for a better job. It is okay to pray for a strong marriage. It's okay to pray for peace in your kids' life. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are. I believe that. But we can't stop there. Our vision must be bigger. It must. It must go beyond the quality of our own lives. We have to be praying those eternity-minded, kingdom come, heaven-advancing prayers on the earth as intercessors. We must. This is some of the things that I've been trying to get my brain around as I'm just thinking about prayer this week, that God, we want to be those people that are praying these prayers that are heavenly focused, that as citizens of heaven, we are praying heaven's priorities. And so this is my plea this morning, that we would make space in our hearts for this vision, that we would make a space in our heart for a deeper desire to see our neighbors know and live for Jesus, that it would start with a desire for that, that we would have a desire to see our city captivated by the glory of Jesus, that we would have a desire to have the name of Jesus celebrated and proclaimed in our schools, that we would have a desire to live in a day where people show up at work and they're like, tell me about this Jesus who came to me in my dreams last night. I know you know him, right? That we would have a desire to see coffee houses become communion tables. That we would have a desire in our hearts that our break rooms would be a place of breakthrough, right? That our schools would become sanctuaries. This is the thing that I'm wondering, can we make space in our heart for these things? Because if we have a heart for these things, then we are going to pray for these things. So how? How do we pray these kingdom advancing, powerful prayers? How do we step into this role as intercessor? How do we align with the heart of God in our day? Because I know some of us were like, okay, I'm ready. I want to step into that role, but I don't have the words. I need some help here. I want to pray powerful prayers, but I don't know. It doesn't come out of my mouth right. Well, here, I'm going to give you a simple and powerful tip today. What I'm asking you to do is to pray covenant prayers. Pray covenant prayers. Covenant prayers are a type of prayer that is calling on God to do what he has said already, what he has said in his scripture, in the word. It's just reminding him of his words. And we see this all over the place in the Bible. I don't know if you've heard of a guy named Nehemiah. Well, Nehemiah was just he was in the business world. He helped the king out, and he had this heart to go restore Jerusalem, and he prayed this huge project, but he prayed according to what God had already said. He reminds God. He's like, God, remember what you said to Moses. Remember that you said that if we are scattered, that you would bring us back. He's praying those words back to God. We have Moses, who is like this quintessential intercessor between Israel and God. And so many times the Israelites were like super rebellious, and God was like, I am done with them. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses would stand in the gap before God and say, God, don't remember what you said to Abraham and Isaac. Remember that you said that you were going to make their descendants as many as the stars in Exodus 32. I don't know if you've got those, but these are all these covenant prayers that we see in scripture. Or David before God, so many times David would remind God of what he said, of what he promised. He would tell God, listen, God, keep your promises so that your name will be great forever. God, you made a covenant, now fulfill it, right? You said you would do this thing. Daniel chapter 9, the whole chapter is like covenant prayers, where Daniel is coming before God and he was saying, God, you said you would do this. You said that you were going to be righteous and that you would show great mercy. So show great mercy. Do what you said. These are the type of prayers that I believe God is calling us to pray in this day where we look around and we are like, which end is up? That we don't have to change any of the content, that we could pray like David and like Nehemiah and like Solomon. We can pray these prayers back to God. And it's so simple, but this is what it sounds like. God, you have said. God, you have said. You have said you will be faithful. You have said that you would pour out your glory on the earth. God, you have said that when we turn, you will hear our cries and you will move on our behalf. It's just praying back the things that he has already said. And we know that we can't control God. We know that. But when we pray with alignment, we're praying according to his will. And we can ask with confidence, can't we? We can ask with confidence. So guys, as we look around at just the chaos and the darkness and the undone around us, I want to remind you, you have an important role in this day, that you were born for such a time as this. You were. God picked you out of all of history, and he put you here in this time, in this place, in this season for a reason, to bear heaven impact here. And I know sometimes it sounds like that's like, you know, big or too much or too like just grandiose or whatever. It's 100% true, though. You have been placed where you are in your family, in your relationships, in the workplace, the neighborhoods that you live in, to be a go-between between heaven and earth, to bring about God's will in this place. And he's saying, will you stand in your place as intercessor? Will you take up the role that I have put on your life, the call that I have put on you? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, my business. And, I have this business where I sell things, and I felt like the Lord was like, Molly, it's not about selling things. It's not about the money. It's about the people who are going to be in the things that you're selling. That's what I care about. So use it as a place of intercession between heaven and earth. You know, like I think about like, okay, like why am I like preaching? Like what, you know? And it, again, it's this reminder of like, it's not about getting something out of it or feeling like, oh, you did something well. No, it's about what heaven might do on the other side of a word, right? Like this is what you guys are doing in all the places you are in. It's not about a paycheck. It isn't about a position or status or getting something. It's about all of heaven that is just dying to move through you into the places that God has placed you. We need fresh vision for this, guys. We need fresh faith for it. That's my prayer this morning, is that we would go, oh yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm fulfilling the design that God set in place in Genesis 1. All that time ago, it is just as true today. This is why I'm here. You are a go-between. You are a go-between. So church, what if the answer to the heaviness around us isn't louder fear or throwing another opinion into the chaos and noise of the world? What if it's about deeper intercession? What if God is still looking for someone to stand in the gap? And maybe not in the sanctuary, but maybe out on the sidewalk, right? And so what we're doing this September is we are asking everyone to step into this assignment as an intercessor. Literally, we're asking you all to go on a prayer walk, to take a walk around maybe your workplace at lunchtime, maybe the kids' school at drop-off, your cul-de-sac, your neighborhood, our city, your city. We're asking everybody to join in. We're doing a month of prayer walking, a focused prayer. And God went before us and he knew what was going to be happening in the month of September and in October and November and what's coming down the road. And he put on the hearts of some people here to pray. And so we're saying we're doing this corporately. We're doing this as a church to see what God will do when we stand in that place that he has put us. So down in the basement, in the cafe, when you're getting your meatballs and your peppers, there's a big, huge map of Palatine on the wall. Carly printed that off this week somehow. I don't know how. Magic. She printed off a huge map. How does that happen? I don't know. But anyways, it's up on the wall, and there's highlighters. And what we're asking you guys to do is if you live in Palatine, if you work in Palatine, or if you're here for something, to take the highlighter and mark your spot, mark your path, and so that we know, oh, this has been prayed for. This area has been prayed for. So we can see how much of Palatine we can cover. And I'm asking you, if you don't live in Palatine, your city still matters. You're not a pirate, but your city matters. Please pray for your city. Please pray for your neighborhood. We have people praying around the schools in Palatine. We have people praying around the police, around the businesses downtown. Praying covenant prayers. Praying, God, you have said that you would come and seek and save the lost. You have said that you would reveal your love to the lost. And what I've done is I've made a prayer sheet and I put it on the back table that I put some covenant promises so that you can just pick up and take that with you and pray as you go. If we run out, let me know. I'll do more. But they're just super simple. You can just, they're short. You just pick them up and you pray them. You're praying back the words of God as you go and pray around your city, around your neighborhood, your community. And I am so excited to see what God will do as we walk, as we pray. As we pray quiet and loud and bold covenant prayers and simple prayers and the God you said prayers across our lives, across our world. I'm excited to see what God will do. And so it's going to be good. I want you guys to share your stories and your testimonies and your victories. And along the way, we're going to have some things on social media that will help encourage you to keep praying. And then next week, I'm going to come back and look at why aren't our prayers answered. I'm going to keep at this. We're going to keep looking at how do we pray powerful prayers as intercessors. But why don't we stand up, and I'm going to pray over you and your role as intercessors and the places that your feet are going to step in the days to come. Expectant that heaven will break in.